and here we go with another edition of We Talk Wrestling with Addy and Mo. Hey, yo, I'm Addy.
Hey, yo, I'm sorry, who am I doing this with?
Addy.
Okay, and this is, oh, fuck. Okay, so this is We Talk Wrestling.
This is We Talk Wrestling.
Okay, god damn it, I gotta
get
my notes
straight. With Addy and Mo.
With who?
Hey, yo, I'm Addy.
Hey, yo, I'm Mo, and all filler, no filler? Here we go, first topic. We have a lot of talk about attorney Michael Hulk heel again as I'm working as a manager, getting him out of the announce booth. So I want to know your thoughts on that and who you think right now, post-WrestleMania, we're quite a ways out, who you think he could manage.
My thoughts on that is, again, I'll believe it when I see it. You know, they had that, I mean, we got all kind of, the talk was a while back and about managers and, you know, and we got kind of excited about it, and when Michael Hayes come out on the Superstars and managed Tyson Kidd, and then it just became an angle where Kidd was going through these managers, which was going to, well, no, the whole thing was it was going to lead to a woman, I think Maxine, coming up to eventually be his valet, but that has either been put on hold or they've changed it or whatever, because we saw Tyson Kidd last week. I was finding nothing, right? So I believe it when I see it. There's plenty of people that he could manage, but I don't even, again, care to speculate until I see it happen.
Hey, way to ruin that topic, Addy.
You're welcome.
Okay, let's hit another one then. I'm just going to say this. Sheamus on Conan, awesome.
Mm.
All right, get that out of the way.
Yes.
Yeah, I hope he has more appearances like that. I mean, I really think that that'd be a good role for him. And it's good to see him finally get one of those, and hopefully they'll continue to throw him out there.
The Ginger Ninja.
The Ginger Ninja. But speaking of Sheamus, did you know this is a quick hit subject? He said in the summertime, even no matter how hot it is and no matter how much he's sweating,
mm-hmm.
he wears a hoodie to prevent himself from getting a tan.
Nice. Living the gimmick.
Living the gimmick, motherfucker. All right, let's talk about a little bit about Jeff Hardy. I want to mention this. There's a new DVD coming out from TNA on Jeff Hardy called Enigma 2.
Mm-hmm.
Considering his current legal problems as well as his suspension and the fact they haven't used him for so long, what are your thoughts on their idea of them marketing this DVD?
Well, the thing is, what they're going to do actually is they've undergone the a name change is the first thing they've done on that DVD.
It's not Enigma 2 anymore?
It's not Enigma 2 anymore. It's Enigma 2 to 10.
Nice.
Just depending.
Nice.
Have you seen Jeff Hardy's YouTube channel yet?
No, no.
Well, he's there. He's got the new tattoo all along the side of him. There he's got, you know, he's all down his arms, a lot like Punk.
Oh, really?
He's got the tattoos there. And, yeah, I mean, Jeff. Oh,
he put Punk over. Punk wouldn't have been a star without him.
People were talking. I heard, I believe it was on the PW Torch site. They were talking about, on one of their live casts, about a TNA house show that had come, and one of the kids had walked in and not seen Jeff Hardy in the poster and was really disappointed. So in terms of how much it can sell, it will be a hot seller per TNA standards.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. And you have no issue with them doing it despite him?
It'll make money.
Yeah.
You
okay.
Know? And that's what the business is about, is making money. Whether, I mean, the fact is that, should they employ the guy? No. But if you might as well make some money off him. And this isn't on anything that, you know what I mean? It's not like they're having him out. I mean, they've taken both the Hardys off television, right? And they finally got the, and I don't know if that's a brother love call, or what the deal is with that, or who made that call. But the fact is they're off television, but that doesn't mean that they're not still under contract. Don't use them and enable them, per se. But I mean, make some money off them.
Okay. Speaking of making some money off of them, TNA has something called TNA On Demand. Everybody, I think most people are familiar with WWE On Demand. They're probably not familiar with TNA as a similar service, TNA On Demand.
Don't you get a year free because Hardy was stoned or something on a pay-per-view?
If you ordered the pay-per-view, I think. So 12 people got it.
Yeah, that's right. That's right.
Yeah, but they have they're having basically CM Punk month,
yeah.
So they have a whole bunch of CM Punk matches up there. Your thoughts on TNA doing that on TNA On Demand?
Well, again, that's a smart call. I don't know if it was Jeremy Borash call or who made that call, but that smart move. Sure. I don't know how. I mean, when you say they have a bunch of CM Punk matches, Punk wasn't there that long. They don't have a bunch of matches, but they have whatever they have. They've put up there.
Okay. Yeah. No, I think it's smart too. I mean,
yeah, definitely.
Yeah, let's move on as we continue our quick hit show on the smaller topics that may have fallen through the crack that we are cleaning up that we want to talk about here. Jeremiah Riggs from Tough Enough
conducted
an extremely interesting promo talking about how quickly he improved and how good he was after a couple months and about how Andy Devine's basically a pussy. And how Levine, what did I say,
Devine?
Sorry, that's Johnny Devine. Yeah. So Andy Levine, how he's basically a pussy, and also how Hugh Morris is not nearly as tough, build him up, not nearly as tough as he acts,
okay.
And how despite being so much smaller than him, he could have beat the shit out of him and still could and wouldn't mind. It was really a great promo, great charisma. Your thoughts on that?
Well, you know, my thought actually, my original thought wasn't as deep as that of Lance Storm, but it tends to echo his sentiments in that. You know, of course, Jeremiah not signed, and I think with a lot of these Tough Enough guys, where I kind of saw it was the ones that didn't that got cut, the ones that didn't make the cut, and even you know, Luke, similar situation, right? I mean, Luke's come out now and kind of said that he's you know looking at all his options, really, right? I mean. Luke was a wrestler, but Luke wanted to be on Tough Enough, and you know now that he didn't win, I don't know that he's going to go be a wrestler. He's going to go to something else. And so that to me at least shows they made the right
trying move, acting,
and they made the right move in not picking him. Because if you really wanted to be a wrestler, then you'd work at it, right? I mean, so with Jeremiah, I mean. What's he doing? Does he have any bookings?
I'm just going to play a devil's advocate there, and you say you would work at it. The fact is that if you show up, you should so obviously be offered a contract. You're their best guy, and they don't care anyway. Then why bother working at it? I mean, if they're going to have blinders on, they're not going to be able to see what you have, then why waste your time? I mean, I don't know if I blame him for that. I blame the company for that.
Why?
Because they cannot, again, they cannot see the talent in front of them.
Well,
and their inability to do that, I mean, why bang your head against the wall and waste
then,
years of your life?
Fine, then just give up. It's too hard. Give up.
That's not too hard. I think you're taking it the wrong way. I'm just playing devil's advocate. Mm-hmm. If that's his point of view, I can understand that.
But that's
why
I
agree with that. I'm just saying I understand.
No, but that's my point of view. Is that if it's worth doing, and at first you don't succeed, try again, right? I mean, and if that's something you really want to do, that's what I'm getting at. If this was something that he was really passionate about doing, then
we see him in
he
honor,
would continue
like
to be trying again. Instead, he's gone to be an actor, which tells me that they made the right choice in not pursuing it, because he would go down to like Andy Levine, go down into Florida and not be used on television to continue to work, and then eventually get brought
but
up.
He doesn't have a contract to go into Florida and be worked. He'd have to try and work independent. And he has a family to feed. He has a young family, so he has to feed that.
And
Andy Levine, let's say he had been cut and not made the show and not had a contract prior. Do you really think he would be going around still trying to do it? No, I doubt that.
I don't know.
So you say
I don't know. No,
I doubt that very much. I mean, from everything I understand, he's got this opportunity.
Well,
he
was already a guy, Andy, that was in Florida. There were a couple
people.
Yeah,
but he wasn't in Florida because he had a lifelong wrestling passion. He was in Florida because after trying out for the Miami Dolphins and being cut, this was the next way he could make money. At least that's my understanding.
Well, that's fine.
So I'm just saying that as I'm just playing devil's advocate.
If the Rock had been a star CFL player, would he have gone to be a wrestler?
Yes.
Would he?
Yes.
He would have. You're absolutely positive of that.
Yes.
Okay. I don't think so. But
because he was only playing in the CFL in the hopes of making the NFL.
Okay. Yeah.
If he had bought the NFL dream.
Mm-hmm.
If he had made the NFL, he would have done that first. Right. That would have been a screen.
He's a star in the CFL. That would give him, that would open up the opportunity for him to go be in the NFL and make the
NFL.
And
if he did make it, then he would have gone into wrestling instead.
That's right. That's all I'm saying. So when you look at Jeremiah, though, was what I'm saying with him is that he was already in Florida training. Not a long time, but he was there first. He was a guy.
But he wasn't there because of a passion. Is what I'm saying is that say he had come to the show.
He was there as a way to make money.
Contract.
That's fine.
Not
I
just saying.
Understand
I'm just, that. Yeah. If he had come, didn't have a contract with FCW, and Luke was chosen, I think he would have tried to go into Rust or into acting or something else as well. I don't think he'd be any different than Luke or anyone else or Jeremiah. I don't believe Andy Levine would still be attempting to do it. Now, I might be wrong, but that's just my perception.
Well, where I'm telling you...
When you're saying that they made the wrong choice based on that, saying that I don't know that's 100%...
Where I'm telling you you're wrong is that if Andy Levine hadn't went tough enough, you know where he would have gone? Florida, because he was under contract.
You're missing what I'm saying then.
No, I get what you're saying. I'm just telling you, that's where you're wrong, is that you're saying would he go, but the circumstance...
He would have gone because he was under contract, but if he didn't have that contract, you're saying that he doesn't have the passion. You're saying Luke doesn't have the passion, Jeremiah Riggs perhaps doesn't have the passion, so that's why they chose the right person than Luke. Luke has the passion because he already has the guaranteed contract. If he didn't have that, who knows if he would have any more or any less.
Andy, but yeah.
I say.
You said Luke. But anyway, the point is with Jeremiah cutting out that promo and doing all that stuff, you know, okay, so he's been noticed. He got his you know, whatever, his 15 minutes here. We've talked about him for probably far too long. If he's going to come in, he's going to come in. I thought he was a great character on the show. I thought he was great. I know Stone Cold was always saying he was great. I think that he had, again, the fact that he's small works against him. But I thought he was a great character.
I would love to see. I would agree with that. I mean, I'm not disagreeing with anything you're saying. I'm just, like you said, I was just throwing out the devil's advocate argument. But also, I will say this: I would love it if he can, that he did beat up Bill DeMoss. I'd be okay with that.
Yeah.
Hey, let's move on to our next subject. WWE, when they're going to Los Angeles and such, when they're going into markets, will often now. When presenting their performers for media interviews,
right,
will give that media a list of banned terms. The media, on the other hand, tends to, let's say, poke fun at them and laugh at them for it.
Yeah.
What do you think of that?
Well, because it's funny. No, I mean, really. I mean, you know, don't say wrestler, don't say belt, you know, blah, blah, blah. I mean, it's stuff we've talked about before. I mean, now they're allowed to use wrestler. But, I mean, you know, belt versus... I mean,
But apparently the announcers aren't still allowed to use it.
Hmm?
The announcers aren't allowed to use it still.
Well, I don't know. I haven't really heard any
announcers. That's my understanding. Yeah, the announcers apparently aren't allowed to still use it.
Yeah, but the announcers are just...
I think it's funny to try and control other media into that.
Yeah.
That's hilarious.
Yeah.
And of course, you're going to be made fun of.
Yeah.
So therefore, it's counterproductive.
We talked about it before. When they called up when Drew Carey was in, you know, in going in the Hall of Fame or whatever, and that, you know, person just ripped him, and the office person called then and said, you know, it's not wrestling, it's this and that, and how stupid that was, and nothing's changed.
Yeah. Okay.
So let me go now, because I want to talk about Mick Foley.
Okay.
And how Mick Foley is not yet, but it's... you know, sort of widely, there are talk, and they're starting to get plans for him to be at WrestleMania. He did have an understanding and agreement with TNA that he wasn't going to be able to pursue other options, i.e., go to WWE until when his TNA contract would have expired, which I believe would have been middle to the end of September.
I believe middle of September
is when it would have expired.
I thought it was September 4th.
Okay.
Is the date I seem to have in my head.
Maybe, yeah.
But,
regardless, he could, because I remember he did that Edge SummerSlam build with the Edge and Taker Hell in the Cell match. That was his last appearance, was Edge beating the shit out of him to get that match over. And he'd gone off there. So that was the end of August. So sometime in September, Foley will be eligible to show up. That's not to say he will immediately show up, but At least Mania is going to be a possibility, and fully, as we said last time, we said who should be the general manager and why they shouldn't, because they want to be too involved and they really shouldn't have a match. Fully wants to have a match. Who do you put him against?
Well, Fully wants to have one match at Mania, and I understand the reason he wants to do it is because he wants his kid, all of his kids, not just Dewey, who's old enough for and will have seen him, but he had a third child who was very, very young. The last time he was performing for the WWE, he wouldn't have any in-ring, in-arena memories of him performing.
Right.
That's the way Foley wants. And Foley wants to give his entire family that one last memory and have that one last Mania moment.
Yeah.
That's his goal. So he needs somebody who he can adequately do that with. That means he needs to be able to have somebody who is hungry, who is prepared to do a hardcore, hard-hitting match that will be very painful.
Are you campaigning?
No.
Okay, because you're hungry.
I'm somebody who's willing to do, because I'm what?
Hungry.
Well, I am hungry.
Yeah.
I seriously am.
I know.
But somebody who we should go get those here from your house. We should get those burritos here from Big Eddie Cool's Palacio Golden Trusted Studios.
Mm.
But anyways.
Burrito.
Seriously, I lost my thought thinking about burritos.
Perfect.
Anyways, Mick Foley, yeah, so you need somebody who is driven to have a great match, wants to make their moment, and you need somebody who is also willing to take the physical punishment that Edge and Randy Orton took
right.
the last time that he was able to have those great matches with them, and who has the movement and athleticism to kind of hide what Foley himself can't do. But it also needs to be somebody who can match him on the mic, and probably needs to be a heel. I'm having a lot of trouble finding this. I'm having a lot of trouble putting all of this together.
Cody Rhodes is my first thought.
Cody Rhodes isn't bad. I think Cody Rhodes would be willing to do the hardcore match. I think he's a good promo. The guy I was thinking, actually, strangely enough, was Mark Henry.
Mm.
But I like Cody Rhodes more.
Yeah, cool. Well, I'm just thinking of someone that has a future, again.
Exactly.
When you say heel, I guess so you can't that discounts Zack Ryder.
Everything to me is saying CM Punk. Everything is saying CM Punk until I get to the point where I don't know if CM Punk is a face then and Foley. I don't see how he has to be a face.
Yeah.
So I just have difficulty with that.
Ironically, didn't they have interaction?
Let me throw out another name to you. I know you're going to say ironically they had interaction at the end of ROH
during the Summer of Punk. Yeah.
That's right, they had some great stuff. And if they're willing to bring that in, that'd be great. But how about Christian?
Yeah, that's another guy that may need something to do at by Mania time, right? Because you think, where does he go, after Orton?
I think the fact we know he knows how to work, and he would know how to work with Foley. He would be willing to do that physical match.
Mm-hmm.
But I think there's a storyline there with Edge that you can tie in as well.
Well, exactly.
So I kind of, now that I think about it, and it gives him, Christian, a well-deserved semi-main event spot, because I don't think he's probably going to be in the world title picture. Orton will be in it, and who knows who else, you know?
Make Edge the ref.
You could.
Yeah.
You could. You know, that's my pick, Christian. That's
Christian.
Who I go.
Okay. Yeah.
Christian.
No, that's a good pick. Christian, Isaac, Christian, Cody Rhodes. I can't think of anybody.
If Sheamus was a heel, I would have said him, but he's not.
There's Wade Barrett, but I don't know that Wade Barrett.
Wade Barrett is quite the right dynamic.
No, that's what I'm saying.
I like Wade Barrett, but
big.
I don't think he's the right dynamic.
No.
Not even just too big, but just his style and persona. And,
In terms of, you're right, you have to have someone bump for him, and Christian and Cody can do those bumping spots. And Wade's just, Wade can bump, but, it doesn't, not in
the same
way, right? Yeah.
No, exactly. So I kind of think, those are the two guys I would go with.
Anybody on Raw?
Yeah.
No, anybody on Raw that you see?
Anybody on Raw. Oh, I thought you said, and he can be on Raw. Anybody on Raw, Del Rio, I think, would benefit from that spot greatly.
Mm-hmm.
And I think Del Rio would work pretty well with him there.
Yeah.
I think the idea of the Mick Foley, the hardcore icon from Long Island, with the jogging pants and the plaid versus the Mexican
aristocrat
with the tars and the fancy clothes. And I think that would be an interesting dynamic too. I think that would work in a lot of ways, and I think they'd have a good match. So he'd be my Raw pick.
Yeah.
And because I don't think he's going to be in the main event picture come Mania for the world title.
I think that's
a good role for him.
Regardless of who it is,
he'd be my number two pick, and then Cody would be number three.
Regardless of who it is, I do seriously think that part of the build-up, part of the angle, and I'm not even joking when I say this, but it may come across as a joke, I think that part of the build-up and angle is that whoever the heel is to get Foley to come out of retirement for one more match should Kane Dewey.
I actually think that's great. I got no problem with
he's
that.
He's what, like 20-something now, isn't he?
Yeah, exactly. I think that's a great idea. I think you could play into that.
Yeah.
And, yeah, I could definitely see any of those three guys doing that to him.
Mm.
So that would work really well. The thing also, like, I was thinking to myself, who's willing to go through a flaming table? And probably all of those guys were.
Yeah.
So,
Yeah. So that, and by that, you mean a table where Mel Phillips and Pat Patterson are sitting at, right?
That's what I meant.
Okay.
That's what I meant.
Okay, so go right ahead with the next quizzic hit topic.
Quick hit topic. Let's hit a little bit of sad news. I just want to touch on the passing of James Hoff, a.k.a. JT Lightning, a wrestler and performer who passed away at 41 due to cancer.
Was he a Cleveland area promoter, was it?
Cleveland area promoter, yes. And Rod Steele, former OVW champion, who has committed suicide, unfortunately. So, again, our condolences to the family and friends of those two gentlemen.
Yeah, no, certainly. That's especially taking your own life, too. That's sad.
Yeah, always. So, speaking of a little more, we're hitting a little heavier subject. Let's talk about Lee Silver.
Let's talk about you.
And he's a gentleman. Heavier?
Yeah.
I gotcha.
A lot.
Let's talk about Lee Silver.
Gentleman
who is a 61-year-old gentleman who has been stalking and threatening Maurice Ouellette. I want your thoughts on that.
At least he has good taste.
Well, she's French. A French girl. I know you like those.
But, she's hot. But no, I mean,
So it's not like your ass.
Where do they live? Florida? Is it down in Florida probably?
I believe he's in California, if I remember correctly.
Does she live in California or?
That I don't recall. Maybe because Miz is her boyfriend, right?
Right.
I believe he's in California, even though he's from Cleveland. I think he lives there.
Okay. No, I'm just curious because was it to be a stalker? I mean, it's just, especially to stalk a WWE diva.
Well, if they're coming into the California area, though, which they are for SummerSlam, and they're doing house shows and tapings there, and that's apparently the area. They've increased security.
Right, okay.
He sent her messages, such things as respond to me or we'll go to heaven together, things like that.
Yeah.
I mean, pretty, pretty disgusting stuff.
Yeah. So, I mean, the guy's obviously got some issues, and hopefully they just catch him and off you go. I mean, you keep.
Now, Maurice is out with a hernia at the moment.
Yeah,
he's not performing on the road, which is interesting. This is going on, but they're nevertheless increasing security.
That's good.
At the show.
Yeah. No, that's I would be increasing security with her too. I mean, that's just one of those things, right? So, I mean, they take every precaution, and I don't want to say unfortunately it is, but a little bit of the price of fame, right, is that you these whack jobs do, you hear about them every once in a while come out, and it's just a matter of hopefully nothing bad happens about it, and they catch them, and that's
it. Well, I'm going to put up the name Rebecca Schaefer. I'm not sure if you're familiar with her or who would be. She was on a television show. She's an actress.
Called Monday Night Raw.
No, called My Sister Sam. With Pam Dauber, and she was 21 years old when a fan who sent similar messages, Robert John Bardo, murdered her, killed her. And so this is nothing to fuck around with. This is serious shit. It is a shame that this guy sending these kind of messages isn't enough to simply get him arrested and moved away. Instead, all they can do is put up a court order saying he can't be within 300 meters of her, or yards, I suppose it is, in America. But that's not enough because if the guy's a psycho,
feet.
He's not going to pay attention to that. So, I, you know what? Like I say, I think it's disgusting, and there's no, nobody should lay their hands or threaten anybody for any reason.
No.
So this is, this really does disgust me. That's, you know, and scares me a little bit, and I feel sorry for Maurice and any for anyone who is in her life or cares for her regarding this issue.
Yeah, yeah, especially because she's mine.
Oh, yes, she is. Speaking of idiots, Hannibal.
Right. Mo. What?
Hannibal.
Oh, Hannibal.
Remember Hannibal? Devin Nicholson, who we talked about 1 week ago. We talked about him suing Abdullah the Butcher for hepatitis B, was it?
It is, yes.
Hepatitis
B? Yep.
Okay, so he is putting on a Macho Man. He's the promoter for a Macho Man tribute show.
Right.
And in that evening, he will be performing in a match.
Mm-hmm.
And the main event of that show is Lanny Poffo versus Greg Valentine.
Oh.
Your thoughts on all of this?
Excellent. Well, I mean, when we saw him, and then we saw him in the match against Abby, it was the Bad News Brown tribute show, right? So, or Bad News Allen tribute show. So, I mean, he's no...
he's promoting.
Hmm?
Which he promoted as well,
yeah. Yeah, that's what I mean. He promoted it, right? So, there's no,
yeah,
he's no stranger.
In the main event.
Yeah, and he was in the main event. There's no stranger to this gimmick of doing these shows. I mean, and hey, you know what? I have no problem with someone promoting a Randy Savage tribute show, especially one where, you know, Lanny Poffo gets a booking. So, I mean, he's clearly okay with the concept and the booking and everything. So the fact that Hannibal, of course, with his Hep C, is willing to go and have a match...
Yeah.
You know, that's...
Well, suing for $6.5 million.
Yeah, exactly. So, no, and I would, as his opponent, I would be willing to go have that match, and then I would turn around and sue him for $7 million.
Why not? His opponent is somebody's name I can't recall, but it wasn't a big-name individual. It was an indie performer.
Yeah.
Now, what about this idea of Lanny Poffo, Greg Valentine, 2011?
45 minutes just to get warmed up.
I think 45 minutes just to walk to the ring.
Possibly. Well, that'll get him warmed up, right? Hopefully he stretches. They better not sign autographs.
And also this, just to continue on this Devin Nicholson Hannibal douchebag.
Do we have to?
Yes, we do, because apparently while he's sitting there talking about how he was going to have a contract possibly with the WWE,
yes,
and TNA.
Right, of course.
He's not very well liked within the wrestling community, and after he tried out for TNA, he went to their Gut Check Challenge to try out for the company.
Right, right.
And was not hired. In an indie show where he was working with Tommy Dreamer.
Yeah.
In the ring, he decided to shoot on Tommy Dreamer.
Right.
Your thoughts again.
Yeah, I remember that story. And again, it just, I don't have much thoughts because I don't really want to talk about him because, you know, he's just essentially, he's an indie geek. And you know, that is what that is. And you know what? They'll just fade away and we won't ever hear from him again, hopefully.
Let's hope. Okay, let's get to, you know, a couple other subjects. I had an interview I wanted to conduct.
Mm-hmm.
And do you want me to do it now? You want me to wait a little bit? What do you want to do on that?
Well, I mean, if you were going to give him a call, you mentioned that that you were going to call him last week because it's a scoop.
I talk to him semi-regularly,
yeah.
Individual, yeah.
Okay, yeah. Well, yeah, let's get on the line. Let's get Vladimir Kozlov on the line. His first public appearance, his first public interview since being about a week ago released from World Wrestling Entertainment. So why don't you go ahead and try to get him on the line here then?
Hey, Oh yeah, I wasn't supposed to do that anymore.
That's retarded.
I forgot. Vladimir.
You're retarded.
Vladimir.
Ye.
Oleg.
This is Mo.
Should I call you Oleg? This is Mo.
Mo.
Is this Vladimir?
Yes.
Should I call you Vlad or should I call you Vladimir or Oleg, your real name?
You call me Kozlov.
Kozlov. Excellent. Kozlov. I just want to know, let's start off with, you were, of course, hired by and fired by John Laurinaitis.
Yes.
And just your thoughts on John Laurinaitis.
If he dies, he dies.
That seems a little harsh. So you had your last match. It was against Mark Henry. They sent you out with an injury angle and to leave. And I'm just wondering, what did they tell you on your way out to the ring?
You will lose.
Okay. So you knew you were going to... Well, did Mark Henry say anything to you? Because it was a Pillmanizing angle they were doing with him, you know, and...
I must break you.
Oh, okay. So you're... he broke your ankle or something.
Yes.
What? Yes. You're a long-time listener of We Talk Wrestling, aren't you?
I love double T double.
You love double T double.
Yes. Yeah,
you should. And we love Vladimir.
Yes. I cannot be defeated. I beat all men. Someday, I will be the real champion.
So you're going to go back and face... Oh, CM Punk, they're saying. Not Cena. You're going to face CM Punk? Real champion?
In Russia, CM Punk's you.
Of course it does.
Yes.
Yes. Any last things you want to say? Any last subjects you want to hit?
I love double T double.
Yeah, no, I think you already said that. What about your wrestling career? Any last place you're going to go with that?
I love double T double.
Well, we know. Anything else?
Mo, I must go.
Thank you, lad.
Wow. Vladimir Kozlov. That's good. That's great. What a great get. I mean, we found out, really, I think we may kind of know a little bit of his side of the story now. You know, you hear the WWE side as to how he was released and why he was released, and it's good to get, you know, his viewpoint on it and
I got to be honest with you, Addy, I didn't feel like I got enough out of him. I don't feel like I did my end. I didn't feel like that was my best work as an interviewer.
It's like when you were in prison.
Yeah.
With your end.
What?
Yeah. You didn't feel like you got your end.
Oh, no, I didn't get... What? Anyways, I don't know. I'm just saying, I'd like to have him back on sometime.
Well, maybe sometime he'll come. I mean, he's a fan. He loves WTW. So he said it
himself.
Yeah,
he mentioned that.
Yeah, so, I mean, he'll be back on.
Okay, excellent. All right. Let's get to another subject. You got another one there?
Well, I know you had a lot of quotes, and I just want to talk a little bit about the WWE's filing.
I kind of want to save those for the last.
You want to save for the last? Okay, let's go over that. Let's go over to the Ring of Honor television tapings. That are coming. They're coming up in a couple days here. We got Davey Richards versus Roderick Strong, El Generico versus Jay Lethal. Kings of Wrestling versus Wrestling's Greatest Tag Team, All Night Express against the Briscoes. The question I guess I look at is this a smart move? Is this too much too soon? Are they going? I mean, there's some other matches. I think Michael Elgin's got a match. I mean, I didn't name them all there, but I mean, depending on how long this is a taping for, if this is taping for, say, 2 months or a month, I mean, it's an hour-long show, so there's 42 minutes of programming. You know, when I hear this lineup, I'm wondering if they're not spreading it out, are they hot-shotting it? Like, what are you thinking there?
Yeah, it does seem a little bit odd to me. Now, I'm going, if it's a typical ROH show and the matches are sitting there staying at the... sorry, are you hearing that background noise in your place here?
No? A little bit,
okay.
Yeah, a little bit, actually. But
are you?
It's not too bad, but yeah. Anyway.
Okay, sorry, it's distracting me there for a moment. You know what, the thing is that they're going to sit there and do a 3.5-hour taping, let's say, theoretically.
Right, okay.
Okay, let's say they're going to go the average match 15 minutes.
Okay, yeah.
So, and then video packages. So let's say you have two matches per show.
Okay.
It's very easy for me to see how that this could be enough tapings to do. One taping could do enough television for 2 months. I could easily see that within this company.
Well, yeah, it's true, but I guess my question, I mean, if you looked at those matches, as you said, I mean, it's 42 minutes, so if you did two 20-minute matches or two 15-minute matches, like you said, and some promos in there, is that smart? Is, I guess, my question, because to me, if you're debuting a show to in theory to a new audience, you should be. I don't want to say all squash matches. We talked about the WWE Superstars format from the 80s, where you know you have some squash and then one big main event match with two named guys against each other. And to me, when you're trying to build up a brand like they are, then that is a better way to go than you know these big time matches.
I agree with you. I agree with you in theory, but you could have said this about ECW in its day, that they didn't have the squash matches and they had a 1-hour show and were able to get their characters over, and they put on high quality main event matches regularly in their 1-hour show in a similar format, right?
Well,
so I mean it's all about the pacing. It's all about, I mean, if Davey Richards has a match on that first show but doesn't have a match again until show 5 or 6, but is continued to be promoted in other ways on the show, and that match was a hell of a match, and you're anxious to see him wrestle the next time, and you're anxious to even pay to see him, then it can work. And don't get me wrong, I like the idea of the Superstars stuff, but I just think that probably what's happening is I think that they probably think that the market has changed and that the viewing audience and the way they can promote to them has changed. And they're probably not. That's probably why they're afraid to do the squash match main event formula that we're used to or we're talking about.
I do see that point. I just wonder, you know, again, does it get to be? I just look kind of at, especially with the Jim Cornette, you know, involvement in the company, is it just seems very. You know, more of a crash bang that I would expect out of Cornette. Should that be the case? I mean, we're not saying that it is. They're going to make the tapings. And like you said, being an ROH event, it's going to be 9 hours long. So,
yeah.
You know, and
that'll
just,
be match
you,
one.
You can't have, you know, maybe on one, maybe you have one 42-minute match that, you know, an hour match that goes the whole show. Maybe you do that once. But,
yeah.
You know, you can't do that. That's an exception. You do one time. You know, on like that's what you do on show 6, let's say, right?
I'd say you could do that once every 2 years, basically.
Yeah. So, I mean, when you look at a lot of these shows, a lot of these matches are going to have to be in that 10 to 15-minute mark. And,
yeah.
You know, and so are you getting the most out of
but
it?
They don't employ jobbers, right? And sorry. Where do you find jobbers? They don't employ jobbers.
No.
And where do you find a series of jobbers to work with ROH guys? Because ROH guys already aren't the biggest guys, you know? Where do you find the right guys who are perfect to be job guys to ROH?
Well, you know, this TNA. No, the thing is that when it comes to job guys, yes, I mean, in the WWE, the job guys are meant to be smaller, you know, than in the 80s so that they got, you know, overpowered and beaten, blah, blah, blah. But, I mean, like, someone like a Tom Stone or a Ricky Attacchi or, you know, somebody like that could still work now because it's all about the squash match is really just about enhancing your main performer and your main performers. And so as long as he, quote-unquote, gets in all his spots, then he can be as big as the job guy, but if the job guy gets little to no offense in, it's still a squash match.
Well, the job guys really were often some of the most talented wrestlers in the company. They didn't see Buddy Wayne was a very talented in-ring performer, but they didn't see money in him, and therefore he was a great job guy for him in that he would enhance the talent.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it is a balancing act. Yeah, I'm just not sure where these job guys are.
And here
nowadays.
You go with one of the things is that because they'd actually offered tickets in Chicago Ridge to another former famous job guy, Dennis Stamp, but he wasn't booked. so he's not going.
Beyond the mat, folks.
Maybe he could be the new Sin Cara because he knows how to jump on a trampoline.
That's true.
Done.
That would work for me.
We are
done.
Booking. That's booked.
That's booked.
That
if only
done.
We were in charge.
I'm done.
If only we were.
I love that. Yes. That's probably the best idea I've had this week.
Probably the best idea you've ever had because it's your first.
That's true.
Hey, let's get to a couple other subjects. You say I want to talk about the quotes, and I wanted to wait on live on that.
Right.
Not much else to get to. Anything else you want to get to before I hit my last subject?
No, please, go ahead.
Okay, let's get to Stacey Kleber and George Clooney.
Oh, yes.
You want to say anything on that?
Good for him.
Basically, they were dating. She tweeted about it, and so he kicked her out. Basically, in Colorado, is my understanding. I just want to say, good for him or good for her. If you're going to be somebody's beard, you might as well have it be somebody as rich as George Clooney.
That's true.
Yeah. All right. That's about enough on George. I want to hit a couple of subjects. I think we'll go a little bit longer on here. Mattel has a Legends action figure deal going.
Okay.
The Rockers are coming out as one. That'll be the first two to come out as a pair.
Okay.
And after that, they're gonna have Andre the Giant coming out, and they're gonna have four more coming out.
Okay.
And you'll be able to go to. I'm just looking at the website here for everybody. And while I do, feel free and sing.
I just want to talk about that. You said that you're able to vote on the other performers, and so on four other legends that you can do. So when you talk about Andre the Giant and the Rockers, I look at the other four would have to be Michael Hayes, Kerry Von Erich, Iron Sheik, and Stone Cold Steve Austin.
Because they all drink beer?
I would assume that Andre would come with a bottle of wine there, and Marty would have a bong. And then you could get a big bottle of Crown Royal to come with the Sheiky.
That's true.
You know, so yeah. Oh, there's tons of potential here. We just call it the drunk series.
Okay, so you can vote on these folks at Matty Collection, MATTY Collector.com, MattyCollector.com, and
JARRET.
Five more, actually, not four more. My mistake. The Andre Giant will be one. The Rockers, of course. And so you choose from these five, and I want to hear, I'm going to read them out to you. Think of which ones you would vote for.
Okay.
Okay?
Yes.
All right. Arn Anderson, Barry Windham, Crush, DDP, Don Morocco, Doink the Clown, Farouk, Jimmy Snuka, Junkyard Dog, King Kong Bundy, Magnum T.A., Ted DiBiase, Elizabeth, One Man Gang, Savio Vega, Tito Santana, and Tully Blanchard.
Okay. I'm missing one that I said. Elizabeth, Chico, Tully, and who else is down that list?
One Man Gang. Savio Vega.
Savio, I missed Latin sensation. Savio Vega.
Or are you writing these down as I'm listing them?
Yeah, I was just writing them down so I could go back and look.
So you can go back and look at them.
Because I can remember. Well, one of the things you could do was an original Nation of Domination with Crush, Savio, and Farouk.
You could. You could do a lot of the, you could do a few members at least of the Horsemen, Anderson, Windham, and Blanchard.
Yeah.
No. Of course, friend of the show, and if you didn't listen to or if you haven't gone to see our YouTube video or gone back in the archives and listened to our actual real interview with DDP, we would recommend that. But I tell you, DDP gets my vote because, well, we owe him.
Okay. How many do I get? I get five, right?
Yeah, I get five, yeah.
Okay. I would pick the Junkyard Dog as one of them.
Okay.
I would pick King Kong Bundy because as a kid, the old LJN action figures King Kong Bundy was the biggest one you could get. Like, he was bigger
was
than Andre.
Awesome.
Andre was, like, a tall, lanky one, and Bundy was just big and fat and was great. And true story of this, that...
I'm going as Bundy for Halloween this year.
We got... Really?
Yeah.
Oh, really? So you're going to have to slim down, then. We got the ring. the LGN ring. And a bunch of action figures for birthday one year, and my brother got Rambo the action figure as well.
Nice.
Now Rambo though was like the hard plastic, hard movable plastic. It wasn't like the rubbery kind of plastic that the LGN wrestling figures were. So what we did is we put Rambo down in the middle of the ring, and actually we had the cage too. We had Bundy jump off the top of the cage, and it actually cracked the ring. Like, we'd had the ring for, like, 2 hours, and we'd already broke it, because we cracked the ring with Bundy splashing Rambo.
King Kong Bundy, he splashed me?
Can you just hang up on him?
Hey, what the fuck was that, you know? Sorry, I don't know how Sly got on the line, man.
Yeah, a little bit of a connection cross or something, but...
So
I pick, King Kong Bundy, Junkyard Dog. I would pick Elizabeth as well.
Okay.
Just, you know, hasn't really had any legend-type character and definitely deserves one. I would look towards, you know, one of... And we got five, so I got three down. A lot of people to pick from. Now, when they say Don Morocco, is it the Rock Don Morocco or is it the Magnificent Morocco? Are there pictures? Does it say?
It doesn't say.
Okay. So I mean, either way,
I would imagine the Magnificent Morocco is the one people remember, so that would be...
Yeah.
And rightfully
so. I mean, I might do Arn and Tully then if I get the other two. Arn and Tully, probably.
Okay.
You know, I don't know that, I mean, in terms of being able to cross off the list, I cross Doink off the list, I cross Savio Vega off the list, Crush off the list, Farouk I would crush off the, cross off the list, I would cross Magnum TA and Jimmy Snuka off the list. I'd probably look to Barry Windham, you know, DDP, as you said, Don Morocco, you know, Million Dollar Man. I might even cross Million Dollar Man off the list because I think he's had a lot of figures and such.
Yeah.
And I'd cross Chico off. The One Man Gang is a possibility as well. You know, I'm just thinking of people that don't have a lot of action figures but deserve it. So.
Yeah, I would kind of do the same. I mean, DDP obviously, right?
Yeah, you said yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I would do if I'm going to draft four more, I'm going to do people that don't have. I think I deserve it and don't have.
A lot of self-esteem.
Well, Magnum TA would get one for me.
Okay.
Barry Windham would get one for me. I'd probably go... Elizabeth for sure.
Yes.
So that's four.
Elizabeth.
And I'd go One Man Gang.
Okay.
So that would be Windham, DDP, Elizabeth, One Man Gang, and... Actually, you know what? I'll go draw Morocco ahead of One Man Gang. I'll go Morocco.
Yeah. Unfortunately, not on this list that deserved to be Slick.
Yeah. No kidding. So speaking of lists that don't deserve to be, perfect transition.
Okay.
Because let's talk about the recently released PWI Top 500.
Why?
Well, you're not familiar with the list, right? So I'm going to read out to you the top 25 in order.
I haven't been familiar with that list since, like, 1995.
Okay, I'm going to start with number 27, okay?
The internet exists, right?
It does. It does. It's a series of tubes.
Right.
Okay, I'm going to start with number 27 just because, okay, because those are recognizable names. Number 27 is John Morrison.
Okay.
And at any point in time when you want to jump in, just jump in and interrupt me and say something, okay? Number 27 is John Morrison. Number 26, Christopher Daniels. Number 25 is... Was that you?
That was me, yeah. You said anytime I want to just jump in and interrupt you.
I said anytime you want to jump in and say something.
Oh, okay.
You weren't saying anything.
Okay. Sorry, my mistake.
Okay. I'll start
better.
Over. Okay, seriously.
Okay, go. Okay. Number 27. John, start with number 27.
Number 27,
something.
John Morrison?
Something.
What's that?
Something.
You said something? You got the joke right, unlike me. Number 26, Christopher Daniels.
Okay.
Okay. 25 is Davey Richards.
Okay.
24 is AJ Styles.
Neat.
Ultimo Dragon is 23.
Really?
Hiroshi Tanahashi is number 22.
Okay, well, don't go through all of them.
No, wait, listen. Sting is number 21.
Great.
Jeff Jarrett, 20.
This is an irrelevant list, so why are we talking about it?
Just listen. 19 is Wade Barrett. Some people still think this is relevant. You'll find it in some news and message boards. Okay. 18, Kurt Angle.
Who 17, still thinks this is relevant?
17, Dolph Ziggler.
Addy at WeTalkWrestling.com if you think this is still relevant. You probably can't even spell WeTalkWrestling.com if you think this is still relevant.
So Dolph Ziggler is one ahead of Kurt Angle.
Neat.
Okay. Jeff Hardy, then Daniel Bryan, then Suwama, then Roderick Strong is number 13.
You know, I had a shawarma the other day.
Sheamus, what, you what?
I had a shawarma the other day.
Oh, yeah. I like it with the tahini sauce. What is
the
tahini sauce?
Sweet sauce and everything. Oh, that's nice, yeah.
Oh, anyway. Good shit.
You still talking about this?
12 is Sheamus.
I told you, I don't want to go through everybody here. Let's just, you said let's hit some highlights.
Hey, quickly. Right there. Damn. 11 is RVD. 10 is CM Punk.
Keep going.
9 is Mysterio. 8, or number, sorry. Sorry, 9 is Eddie Edwards. 8 is Mysterio. And Mr. Anderson is number 7. Alberto Del Rio is number 6. Sugeria is number 5, Japanese performer. Kane is number 4. John Cena is number 3. Randy Orton is number 2. And The Miz is number 1.
Okay.
Please, you got to say something on that shit.
Something on that shit. No, it's an irrelevant list that was made up by, you know, a Mark magazine that is...
Stu Sachs?
Yeah, it was Stu Sachs, Bill Abbott. Who cares?
Who cares The Miz is the number one from PWI Top 500? To me, it's even more funny. Kane is number 4.
Yeah, but we say that, but we let's talk about the publication time and the... how behind, this is why I don't give a shit about this stuff anymore. I mean,
well,
all these...
It is from like May 31st to June 1st for 2010, 2011, I believe is the, but still.
Yeah, but so May is when it was from, and so when did they compile the list? Probably in like December? So at the time, Kane was the fucking SmackDown champion.
No, the list was compiled from May 31st to June 1st. June 1st, 2010 to May 31st, 2011.
Okay. Well, anyway, who gives a fuck? Really, who cares? It's the fucking PWI, as I said. I mean, in 1986, this was something to talk about. In 1995, even, it was still something to talk about. It's not anything to talk about anymore, so who cares? Does anybody even buy that magazine anymore?
Fuck, I have no idea. I don't see why anybody would.
No, exactly.
I have no idea why anybody would buy that.
So, I mean,
any list where number 4 best wrestler is Kane is a bullshit list.
Well, yeah, but I mean, we figured it would. But, I mean, yeah, who cares?
The Miz. Wow. All right, man. Okay. All right. I wanted to hit these quotes. So I have two quotes from...
A
series of quotes from Vince McMahon, but also a series of quotes recently from Eric Bischoff. So, do you want to...
No, go ahead.
Anything else you want to get to before we hit those?
No, let's hit. We're almost an hour into the show here, so we can wrap it up with these filings here. Yeah, so go ahead.
Perfect. Okay, so are we going to do Bischoff first, or are we going to do...
because Bischoff is commenting on Vince, is he not?
No.
Oh. Okay, so then what is Bischoff talking about?
Bischoff conducted an interview with Monday Night Mayhem.
Okay.
And there's some interesting quotes coming out of that, and I just want to hear your thoughts when I say these, okay?
Oh, okay. I thought these were tied in together, but okay, go ahead.
No. Just both people, upper management people, had something to say. Let's say this. Okay, starting off Bischoff, one of the things he said was that that Impact Wrestling is the highest-rated show on Spike. comment?
Probably is.
Really?
Probably is.
There's probably specials that do better, but what does that say about Spike?
No, it's fine. I mean, it's but they're, I mean, they're above the network average, right? I mean, that's known. So, and Spike isn't in the top 10 in terms of cable. So, I mean,
well, I don't know how many cable networks are there.
There are, well, that actually surprises me, because I thought there were only 9 cable networks. So, so for Spike not to be in the top 10, that tells you how bad they are.
Yeah.
So, but no, I mean,
yeah,
it may very well be. That's, I mean, the 1.2, 1.3, I mean, that probably, I mean, I'll give you an example. When I, last week when I watched Impact, and I set my DVR for it, so I could watch it really quickly and fast forward through all the bullshit, took me 5 minutes. But there was...
Really, that much?
Leading up to that was like, literally like 4 hours of a show called Jail. It was on. It's like this half-hour show that like follows people in jail for half an hour, and it was on literally for 4 hours before Impact, 2 hours of Impact, and then I swear it was on.
But they're trying to get the 15 to 34-year-old males, right?
It doesn't matter. All
I didn't know it was those 15 to 34.
There were four more hours of Jail on right after. Nobody can watch fucking Jail. Like, that show probably does like a 0.2. So the fact that Impact does a 1.2 makes them look fucking beautiful. But I mean, overall, I mean, when you compare it to WWE or to what Nitro was even doing at the end, you know, like 1.2 is what ECW. I mean, well, they were doing like 0.9s and 1s, but I mean, ECW was able to get, I think, a 1.2. So it's, you know, it's better than what Spike is doing. So when he says it, I don't know. That's not true. I think it probably
Let's say this. Let's throw this in there. He said that last year, the audience was growing, and he said over this past year they've averaged the largest viewing audience in company history.
Yeah. Again, probably true.
I don't know that it is true, but I'll tell you this. Say that you were averaging 3 years ago, with a smaller budget, 1.5 million viewers.
That's not what he's saying, though.
No, listen to me. Let's say 3 years ago with a smaller budget, you're averaging 1.5 million viewers. And then 2 years ago, it was 1.5 million. Mm-hmm. And 1 year ago, it was 1.5 million. And this last year, it's 1.5 million and 10 with a higher budget. That doesn't mean you've had success.
Oh, no, I'm not, you know. We've had this discussion a million times, so I don't know that we need to have it again. It's just, again, what he's saying is true. Probably. I mean, I don't know the facts of it, but I mean...
I don't know that it's true, but it's just...
Well,
yeah,
but
just,
why
again,
wouldn't it be true? Let's look at it. No,
I don't
let's
know that
look
it is
at
it.
What were they doing if they're hitting the 1.2s and the 1.3s, and the fact is that...
1.1s are still what they're usually
at. Yeah, okay.
At.
Well, so they get the 1.1s too, but before they were getting 1.0s, 1.1, 1.2 is a big number for them. Now 1.3 is a big number for them. So in terms of their audience being... the number of viewers for Impact... this year versus last year, yeah, probably is more. No, I don't know. It's not obviously significantly more, but it probably is more to the point where, and this is Eric Bischoff, and Eric Bischoff is a very smart person generally, is that everything he's going to come out and say on Monday Night Mayhem, and I don't know the rest of these quotes, you can finish them, but everything he says on Monday Night Mayhem in terms of these numbers probably are true, but it doesn't mean that they're... like you said, it's a successful company, or they're making money, or people are buying anything.
But that's exactly it. It's a spin cycle, right?
He's
a politician. That's what he does, right?
Yeah.
Okay, so that's what's going on. It's a spin cycle from Eric Bischoff.
Well, that's their internet show.
Well, more people listen to Monday Night Mayhem than watch their internet show.
Yeah, and we talk wrestling.
And way more. But anyways. Again, it just pisses me off. Give us a little honest talk, Eric, and that's what never happens, and that's just what makes me laugh. It's just come out there and say, our audience has grown, but it hasn't met the expectations we would have hoped with the investments we've made in. So we're looking at other ways that we can try and increase our audience and grow forward. We're looking to improve.
Why would you say that, though?
Because it's honest.
Yeah.
Because I need a little honesty, because you know what?
Oh, yeah,
I just need some honesty.
You need a little honesty. How long have we watched fucking wrestling?
Good point.
Like, I don't understand why you keep clinging to this hope that morality will exist. It just, it doesn't. And these people are going to come out and they're going to say what they're going to say, and then it's people like us, our job to be able to cut through the bullshit and to be able just to realistically talk like we just did about it. But, I mean, I don't get upset about it because that's quite frankly, that's Eric Bischoff's job.
I actually, I'll tell you this, I know Eric Bischoff, and I'll tell you the thing that bothers me about it probably is I know it's Eric Bischoff's job, but I honestly think if he did come out and say that, that would be a greater, that's the type of thing that would lead to greater success for the company than what he does. But that's a personal opinion. I don't know that for sure.
Yeah.
I'm just going to say one last quote from him. He said, once again, repeated, they asked him about the synergy of MMA on Spike TV.
Apples and bricks.
Exactly. He said he doesn't think there's any synergy between their sport and an entertainment company. He said the only similarity is that action takes place in a ring, like it, in an arena, in a fight type environment.
Mm-hmm.
He said, but there's no other similarities, and some people believe there's a synergy, and he doesn't believe it. Now,
no.
Do you think he really doesn't believe it, or do you think that's just what he's going to continue to say?
Well, no. I mean, you should believe it because people watch UFC. So there's no similarity to TNA. No, I mean, it's, you know, I can't see him actually, again, believing that. It's, you know, and we know, I mean, with in terms of both Vince McMahon and Eric Bischoff, it's one of those things that when or if, let's say, WWE and or TNA by some fucking miracle, if they were ever in a position that they were on top again and it was hot and cool and one of those two companies was just booming, right, and doing, you know, $700,000 buy rates and UFC was back doing the $300,000, they're going to be the first people to say, you know what, we're the kings of pay-per-view. We do more than UFC does, and we do more than boxing does on an annual basis. I mean, they're going to come out and they're going to say those things, right? But when they're behind and they're down, they're going to just go, oh, they're different.
Yep, that's the thing. And
you know, that is what that is, and it's expected.
That is it. I do hope it's not that he actually believes this, because if you think that there's no similarities, then simply go look on the websites that cover both shows. They cover both both products, and to see the similarities and the fans and the growth in one of the, and the fall in the other. And there's just a lot of reasons. If something is successful and you can actually script it and do it better and work it, then why wouldn't you want to do that? It's just what gets me. But anyways, Eric Bischoff, again, always a great source of bullshit.
Mm.
And speaking of bullshit, let's get to Vince McMahon. When again, this is where was this as occurred? These quotes?
What are you talking about?
Vince McMahon quotes. Where was this
Vince
from?
Vince McMahon. They did their WWE filings of their latest quarter earnings call. And
mm-hmm.
And you had written down some things that Vince McMahon had said on it. So.
Yes, and I want to get your reaction on them.
Okay.
So let's do just that. Starting off now, one of the most interesting things, of course, is that their network, their own network, is 12 to 18 months away.
Right.
Your thoughts on that?
Well, I'm actually right now, I'm not in believe it when I see it mode, because I really do think that they're pushing hard to make this happen. So I think this is an inevitability that it's going to happen.
Mm-hmm.
You know, whether if it's 12 to 18 months away, you know, we'll see. These things tend to get, you know, pushed back. I think maybe we're looking at, 24 to 30 months away, which would be 2 to 2.5 years as opposed to a year to a year and a half. Maybe. I mean, who knows? I mean, they're constantly hiring and developing a staff for this network to market it and to collaborate it and get it all set up. And the big thing is getting it out to the cable companies. It's one thing to get a network out and to get, you know, to have the satellite feed and to have this network. It's another thing to have, you know, the Comcasts and the direct TVs and the, all those, all the companies and Shaw here in Telus and all these places carry the network. That's going to be your big thing. And that might be where the strength of Stephanie McMahon may lie.
perhaps, are you at all, say the network is about to launch, would you be excited by it? Would you be interested? Would you want it on your TV? Would you watch it regularly?
I would, yeah. To me, that network would spell the end of the classics on demand, right?
Yeah.
And so the things like the Legends Roundtable would be on this network, which, you know, if they did one of those once a month, would be, you know, worth the price of admission alone, as they say.
To me, one a week, I'd be ecstatic.
I mean, the show that I look forward to most is when I get home from work on Fridays. Mean Gene Okerlund and Vintage Collection is waiting for me, so on my DVR. And so, you know, I have dinner on Friday night and watch Vintage, right? And then, but it's so.
What if Jack Propella and Vintage is waiting for you?
Then I go out. But it's one of those things that, I mean, I would get the network, of course. You get all this, you know, you get Legends, you get different spotlight opportunities. I mean, it really, there's they've got such a wealth in terms of their library that if, you know, if it's coming along with a package that, you know, I get a, you know, like right now I get the Fight Network and you know, ESPN Classics, and then maybe they, in that tier, they put in the WWE channel along with that. So I'm not really paying any more for it. It's just part of the package of a tier that I would already get, is what I would presume would happen. I mean, I don't know that it would be a, you know, like the NFL Network, right? I mean, it just,
yeah,
it comes in part of a package. It's not like we have the HBO Canada here and the Showtime here, but that are, you know, separate movie packages that you pay whatever you pay, $15 a month to get the movie packages. This would be more of a channel where, as I said, like the NFL Network, where it would be part of a package that you pay, you know, $5 a month to get this tier of five channels or whatever it is, right? So it wouldn't be very expensive, I would presume.
I would hope so. But regardless, I also hope they help you get it off the ground, because I do think there's great potential for it, and I've been talking about it to you, I think, probably for 7 or 8 years they even brought it up.
We both.
And I'm hoping it. Yeah, I mean, it could be terrific for us wrestling fans.
They get it up. They get it off the ground because, I mean, it's something that, I mean, again, they're two and a half years, probably they're saying a year, year and a half, whatever the timeline is for getting it off the ground, because, I mean, we know this is a good way to. I mean, it's not going to replace the major television revenue of USA Network.
No,
is going to be a place where your superstars and your NXT, when Vince is talking about getting those on tone, it is a place where when WGN cancels that, or you know, or Sci-Fi cancels that, then it's a place for those shows to go and live
that's
on
not,
and continue.
It's not the internet. It's not just WWE.com
where
nobody's
exactly,
really looking for
it. We know that we both agree that television is the major media, right? So it's something that when they're having their own channel in the next year to year and a half, that's a good move.
Okay. Let's move on to some of his other comments here, because there's quite a few interesting ones. Now, he said The Rock is scheduled to make multiple pay-per-view appearances, and he didn't say how many, but your thoughts on that?
Well, multiple appearances, they said.
That's what they said, yeah.
And from my understanding, multiple matches as well.
That's not my understanding. My understanding was simply multiple pay-per-view appearances. That is the direct quote.
Yeah, so, okay. Well, we know he's going to be at the Survivor Series.
Survivor Series.
Right? And you know...
You would presume? Royal Rumble, one would presume?
Elimination Chamber, I would presume all three of the pay-per-views at the first bit of 2012.
I'm not sure if all three.
I would think all three. If he would be building there, if he's committed to building this match, then, yeah, I mean, he's going to be... he's going to essentially...
It depends on how many Raw appearances he also has, right?
Well, no, I mean, yeah, I mean, I would... But the thing is...
Don't roll your eyes at me, motherfucker.
Well, I'm not rolling my eyes at you. I'm just saying that I am committed... if I'm committed to making this match work, then he really has got to have sort of a clean schedule to be able to make... the appearances, and maybe not every week, but 60% of them, yeah.
I would think you don't want to burn them out. I'm not sure you would do all the pay-per-views. I don't know if you would be better off doing just Elimination Chamber and then Mania, or Royal Rumble, like all three, or I'm not sure. And I do know you have to have them on Raw as well, but I think it's interesting, and from the wording, I do think it sounds like he's going to be making pay-per-view appearances. I don't know about matches. I don't know what that means, but pay-per-view appearances, post-Mania as well. I mean, he is never going away again, so to speak.
Here's to me, and again, the fact that it's a title, if it is a title match, and this is the part that, I mean, and he's going to be able to make multiple appearances. I don't know that I don't. Does Rock leave Miami with the belt?
It's possible.
So there's lots of possibilities, and it just depends.
That's what's interesting. If we know, and if we can get that out there to the public that, hey, he's going to be wrestling on more pay-per-views after this, then the idea that he can win that match and leave with the belt actually has some cachet. Otherwise, you're just going to get him against the Cena, but everybody's going to think Cena's going to beat him, and I think that hurts the match. So you do have to build what they built with Punk, that, hey, this guy actually could win. You don't know. Is it back and forth? So, and that's when if they have the title on the mat in that match, That's where they have to create the intrigue, and that's why it's largely not better, maybe not to have that. And of course, there is some talk still that they're going to pull this match and give different opponents to these two performers as well. Still, so
what? Who's talking that?
A lot of people within the company are pushing for that.
Oh, they were pushing to not, but that's not going to happen. I mean,
because they don't want Cena booed. Basically.
No, I know, but you could talk all you want.
I don't think it's going to happen, there's some people in high power positions
that
who
is
who
not
that.
Going to happen.
Probably not. I never say never. Never say never.
It's never going to happen.
Okay, let's talk a little bit, because we talk about the success of the WWE with their television and UFC and Synergy and all this type of stuff. Vince McMahon during this also said that UFC in negotiations with NBC,
mm-hmm.
Direct quote, fell on their butts.
Yes.
What do you have to say about that?
Interesting. It's interesting. I don't know what that, I mean, haven't heard anything about the UFC, and I guess, what is it, Versus is going to officially become NBC Sports. If they haven't already, they're going to be official.
So they've already announced it. Yeah, I don't think the change has occurred.
There's a date.
They
have
announced
the date.
Yeah.
An official date. So, and that looked to be where UFC may end up, but apparently, and then Vince, again, may know more because of the USA Network and Bonnie Hammer and that synergy. He would have sort of an inside track probably.
Yeah, that tie-in there.
On that. And saying that he fell on their butt. And he met with Dana White, too. Vince did. So, I don't know what that means other than,
It is a shot at UFC, though. It's talking about the strength of the WWE and a shot at the UFC, and I do think that's interesting as well. He also said that NXT and Superstars, he predicts will be back on national U.S. television within the next year.
Right. Maybe in the next year to 18 months? No, he did say that, and, I don't know. I hope not, but especially with NXT. I mean,
hold on. I just looked at your shirt, and it's an Affliction shirt.
Yes.
I thought it said ass fucking.
Huh?
Affliction? I thought it said ass fucking.
No.
No.
It's a Fedor Emelianenko shirt, actually.
Is it?
Yeah.
Okay. I took a quick peek. I saw it. I thought it said ass fucking, and I figured for you, yeah, that's why you knew so much about prison.
Tell me not to take quick peeks.
Okay. Okay. Did we cover everything we wanted to cover in those last two subjects?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Okay. That's What I Am, the film with Randy Orton, the best reviewed film in the company history.
Right. Award winning, apparently.
Yes, award winning. 3.3 million in losses.
Mm-hmm.
What do you have to say about that?
Well, the one thing that the other quote that Vince had with that, and one of the things that he talked about, was that it was an admission that they need to go out and find films that the WWE audience wants to see. Because that movie wasn't, that wasn't aimed at the WWE audience.
It was the Wonder Years. Well, it was. Film, right?
It was, but I mean, it wasn't aimed at the WWE audience. I mean, the one that Triple H and Michael Rapaport have coming out in September, I think here, you know, is more of sort of a there's some action
the one
to
replace,
it.
Replace Batista. A former prisoner coming out trying to put his life back on track.
Really, how's Triple H going to play that?
Yeah, yeah.
Does he drive a bus? To the museum.
And thank God, you know who else just did a film like that? Stone Cold. But anyways.
Yeah, I mean, but whatever. I mean, it's they do what he said.
You agree with what Vince McMahon there said about the films? I'm going to throw a couple things out to you. Then they did the horror film with Kane, which had some success, but they don't want to do that anymore because they don't want to do R-rated movies. They said The Condemned with Stone Cold didn't have success. Because their audience couldn't see it because it's an R-rated film.
Okay.
But on the other hand, the See No Evil was their second most successful film, I believe.
Right.
And was a hard R.
Mm-hmm.
They've blamed this on the audience not trying to do it. The question is, yes, you do want to make financial gains in your film division.
Right.
But if you're putting on good quality films and develop that reputation over time, then eventually, theoretically, you can also make the money. If you're just trying to use this as a vehicle, and this is what they said that originally, that they wanted to do these films to get their performers' names out to
right.
people not in the WWE audience.
Yeah.
They wanted to use it as a marketing material to mm-hmm. get the names out. Now, if you're just going to produce it to WWE fans, you're not doing that. It seems like they're changing their mind every other day with this.
Yeah. Well, I say every other day. I mean, because they don't come out and do this every other day. They originally, you're right, they had come out and they said that they wanted to use these movies as a catalyst to promote and feature, you know, their own stars that, you know.
They wanted to make them household names.
Yeah, that outside of the you know, that are outside of what people are watching already right now. And that was the original intent. Well, they found out, of course, that, and with the popularity of the company going down, I mean, that hasn't happened. And so now what they're looking at doing is trying to promote films that people inside, they're also going to use, you know, smaller budgets on these films, too.
That's the other thing that's come out of this, is they're going to lower the budget. How can you have a lower budget than fucking Knucklehead? I mean, unless you are finding a way to film it with not with a film but with duct tape because that's cheaper, how can you have a lower budget film than Knucklehead?
I don't know.
And have it look like anything like a film? I mean, seriously.
Well,
you want to lower the budget?
Who is in Knucklehead?
Big Show.
No, I know that, but who else? Is there anybody else? There's usually one other person, right?
Maybe. I think there probably was.
I mean, so I think that's going to be the thing is that part of the budget cut can be, you know, you won't have the Ed Harris's and the Michael Rapaport's and the, you know, Lisa Simpson's and the chick from Modern Family, right, in these movies because, you know, that's an expense. So if you can have unknowns, then, you know, that's the thing, right?
Okay,
so,
well then, how about this? You're not making a lot of money on this. You're no longer promoting your performers with it. You look low rent doing it. It makes your entire company look low rent, low budget. Why don't you fucking stop?
No, because then you're admitting failure, and Vince won't admit failure. So, I mean, because it was NBC that pulled the plug on the XFL, right? I mean, I don't remember what his excuse was for the Bodybuilding Federation. It was something that he couldn't get anybody that didn't want to do drug testing bodybuilding, so he had to close down because no one would do it, so it wasn't his fault. So the thing is that he won't admit that. And I mean, it's going to continue. You've got some stuff. I mean, the other thing it does is it's going to put some stuff out. We talk about a network, right? I mean, the WWE film movie of the month, right? Well, there's, you know, 3 hours right there or 2 hours of television time that you filled in your schedule for the week. I mean,
seems like an awfully expensive way to fill that schedule when you already have all that content.
Well, it does.
I think it's time. This has been a failure, and they haven't done it.
Well,
I don't
agree.
Know if it would have been possible.
I agree. I just don't.
I do know. I'll say this. I've heard rumors, and I'm not sure, but I have heard rumors that TNA is looking to start their own film division. So
well, there you go. Well, that'll be exciting.
Yeah.
That'll be exciting.
That will be. will be. Hopefully we'll get a preview or something. If we ever get that opportunity. But, yeah. But I just, WWE Films is a joke. But, okay, all right, we covered that pretty damn well. Let's go to the final thing that I thought was interesting in the quotes from Vince McMahon.
Okay.
And that's that TNA had a show reaction, followed up post...
Impact, right?
Post-Impact.
Mm-hmm.
Impact Wrestling.
Yeah.
They want to do something like that for Raw.
Right.
And SmackDown. Now, in Canada, we have a show called Right After Wrestling. Produced
it's called
by the
Aftermath.
Score Network. Aftermath?
Yeah, they changed it.
I thought it was called Right After Wrestling. Did they change it?
Okay. Yeah.
Okay. It's called Aftermath. It goes on after the show on the Score, the Canadian network that carries both SmackDown and Raw.
And
so they want to do this, but they don't want to do an NXT. Yeah, so I didn't know that because nobody did. A new vintage, because you always talk about it.
Awesome.
But my point is that what they want to do is a reaction-style show, but they don't want to do it after the show, like Aftermath.
Mm-hmm.
Or they want to do a pre-show type thing.
Pre-action.
Pre-action, yes. Yes, your thoughts on that.
Well, what they're looking to do is something, and it's never been done, it's revolutionary, is for Monday Night Raw, I can't see how this isn't going to work because this is just a brilliant idea, that they're going to do a three-hour Raw, okay, 3 hours of wrestling, 3 hours of WWE, okay, and the first hour is not going to have any wrestling.
Ah.
I don't see
how would be tough enough?
I don't see how that can't work. And you know what? What they're going to do is, because of Triple H's involvement as you know, in the company here, they're going to add Kevin Nash to book it.
Book the first hour.
Yes. Do you remember this?
Yes, of course I do. And nobody gave a fuck. And
yes.
It killed the ratings.
And no one's going to give a fuck here, and it's going to kill the ratings.
And like I say, look at Tough Enough, which went on beforehand, right?
Yeah.
And it's ratings patterns that went down. And not as good as CSI or whatever it is that's the lead in.
I don't remember what that was. It was another show, though. It wasn't CSI. It was like, I don't know if it was Law and Order. No, it was NCIS. That's what it was, NCIS.
NCIS, yeah. There's a stronger lead in.
Yeah.
So you want to do a pre-action show. It's enough. You're burning out your audience.
Well, I don't see what it could. I mean, and talk about that on Monday Night Raw here in Canada.
I didn't even know the name of the change.
Talk about
I've
Aftermath.
Had enough wrestling.
It's right when they got kind of broke from their score and they got rid of Mauro Ranallo because he was telling it like it was. But
yeah,
in Raw in Calgary is on in Canada is on a 15-minute delay. And it starts, instead of at 7 o'clock, it starts at 7:15 here in Calgary. And the first 15 minutes...
I still don't get why. Do you ever get why?
The first 15 minutes are a countdown to Raw, they call it, which just...
Greg, do you know why they do that? Do you have any idea?
It's just because of the Attitude Era, and if they wanted to edit something, and you know, there was a big offensive angle,
right.
That's all it was. But but they do a 15-minute countdown show. And that's similar to what they're doing. And you know what? I mean, it tapes from 9 o'clock or from 7 o'clock on my DVR. And, like, but it takes me literally 30 seconds to skip through that whole part. So
I didn't watch Reaction after, even though in some ways people said it was more entertaining than Impact and certainly more logical. I didn't watch that either.
I saw a couple episodes. I saw more than I saw of Impact, but... To me, 3 hour Raw, I don't know that we'll get that here if it's a separate show, and I mean, I don't see what it brings to the table, and it's just, I mean, I know what it brings to the table, it's the possibility of more television revenue, which for the company, short term is a good thing, but in terms of overall, I don't see how it's, I mean, it's one thing to get that extra, say, $50,000 per week for this show, or whatever the heck, again, I'm just throwing that number out there, to say that they get, let's say, $500,000 a week for Raw, and then but the fact that the ratings go down, and if this overall drags the interest down to the point where you're burning out your audience to continue the ratings to go down, next time, when the television contracts are up, they're not going to want the 3 hours, they're only going to want the two, and now you're going to get, say, $400,000 a week for Raw, right? So, short term, it may... hit you up, but in the long term, nah.
No. And you know what? I'll remember what Dave Meltzer always said, and I said many times, and I thought this as well because of Saturday Night's Main Event. A 90-minute wrestling show is the ideal show.
Vince McMahon has said that.
Yeah, that's true.
Has said my ideal show is 90 minutes, so now he's going to do two of them.
Yes. Okay, then my last thing there, a quote from Vince McMahon. I'm going to ask you if he said this quote at this year's conference call prior to just a week outside of SummerSlam or last year's conference call a week out of SummerSlam.
Okay. Does he say pow in it?
No. He said, business is about to take off.
That was Jim Ross. The correct answer is C, all of the above.
Yes.
Yes, correct.
Go ahead and talk about that.
Yes, well, I mean, we're just, it's just about, well, you know what? But we've talked about it, too. And it's not that, I don't want to say that he's, you know, it's convenient here, but I mean, at this point last year, before they killed the Nexus, at SummerSlam, right? Business looked like it had the potential with this angle, with the Nexus angle, to really do some stuff. And then,
yeah,
boom,
it did.
Then Super Cena killed the Nexus. And yeah. It was over. It was done. Killed the angle dead. Now as we come, we're in a little bit different story because they've had Money in the Bank. And now, well, and you know what you're going to do is the way it's similar is you have Money in the Bank and Alberto Del Rio is going to leave SummerSlam with the WWE title, and boom, you killed Punk dead. So 2 years in a row, they've had some things over the course of the summer that had potential to long-term do good things for the company, but they fuck it up at the SummerSlam. So, and they haven't fucked it up at SummerSlam yet. They will, but they haven't yet. So, I mean, you can't say, you know, you can't definitively say that, but that looks to be where it's going. So you're two years in a row, you know, Vince is, you know, it's okay. It's, you know, it's, I don't have a problem with him saying that 2 years in a row. It's kind of funny, but it's true.
Yeah. Sorry, I was only half paying attention to you as usual. No, I know what you're saying. Actually, it is 2 years in a row that it's ironic that they are at this position, and you hope that they can learn from what they did wrong last year, but they can't. And that's it. I mean, my faith isn't there. I will say that if you look at the numbers, the trending numbers from last year to this year, there's no reason to think that they're any better for business taking off. That said, it's not really so much about whether or not the trending numbers, the ratings, and the pay-per-view buys and all this stuff is higher this year than last year. It is about whether or not they can have a series of continual storylines which create interest in the product and get people excited.
Well,
and they have won. And I've already felt momentum on it is pulling off a little bit, but I'm hoping they will do fine at SummerSlam. But you need more than one, and you need one big one, but you need other good stuff around it. And I just don't trust them.
No,
I don't believe business is about to take off. But again, it's much the same as what you said about Eric Bischoff. You can't just sit there and go, you know what, business is the same point it was last year. We have some ideas that we think are going to work. But we have to execute them properly. Instead, he has to say everything's going great, everything's terrific, pal, and it's about to take off.
Well,
and that's
Vince,
what he's doing.
At very least, though, Vince on his conference calls. I mean, Linda was very much everything is just puppy dogs and sunshine. Vince, if he thinks something sucks,
but she said it like this: everything is puppy dogs and sunshine
in Connecticut, but. Vince, at least, if he thinks something sucks on his conference call, he'll come out and say, we're not where we need to be. I'm not happy with this. Like he talked about losing $3.3 million in the movie, what I am. He said, I'm not happy
about
this.
Remember when he said in that conference call, the WWE.com sucks.
Yeah. I mean, he said about what I am. He said, I'm not happy about losing $3.3 million. We need to change the way that we do our movies. So he will come out and say these things. His core product, though, when he's talking about we're poised for the business to turn around, they are poised for the business to turn around. It's just they don't have the people that are able to take advantage of doing it.
No, and they were poised 1 year ago, and they're not further ahead 1 year later.
That's right.
Are they
That's
further
right.
ahead 1 year later? That's the question, and the answer is no.
The answer is
so
no.
Will they be further ahead 1 year from now? It's possible.
Yeah.
It's all there, but there's no reason to think it will be.
That's right. That's
and
right.
And that's the end subject. So before we bounce, are we going to go out with Hulk Hogan's regular feature?
Let's do that right now. The Hulk Hogan Bullshit of the Week.
All right, here we go. Hulk Hogan's Bullshit of the Week. We talked a couple shows back about the Hulk and Friends tour. So I'm going to give you a Hulk Hogan Bullshit of the Week directly from that website.
Excellent.
Hogan single-handedly transformed a closely held regional business into a billion-dollar worldwide entertainment phenomenon.
Single-handedly. Excellent.
He shot all his men. He rustled himself.
Mm-hmm.
He didn't yep. Roddy Piper didn't rustle it. He rustled himself.
Yeah.
He put the rings together.
Mm-hmm.
He commentated himself while rustling himself.
Brother.
I believe he obviously did the cameras. He's
yeah.
capable.
Yeah.
Well,
then they had put him on a stand, right? A swivel stand, hard stand. So yeah.
Yeah, exactly. You know, or you just put one on his forehead.
He drove the truck. He drove the truck from town to town.
Obviously.
Yeah.
Obviously.
Yeah.
Single-handedly, he did it. Hulk
yeah.
Hogan. No one liked him.
Well, you know, he didn't have to
that's
worry too much.
Now that he's not in there, that's why WWE no longer exists.
Well, the thing is,
and that's why he's been able to bring TNA to that same
no.
level.
You know why? Is he left, and WWF doesn't exist anymore.
Yeah,
see?
That's true.
See? And, I mean, the reason that he was able to do all this, though, is because he didn't have to worry about his own personal finances because he had his wife looking after everything to make sure that, you know, the checks, you know, were reconciled and that, you know, more money was coming in than was going out. So it all worked out fine.
Yeah.
So.
Well, he's something else.
Yeah,
he's
no
something
kidding,
else.
Eh?
Okay, I guess plugs and then OUT.
Yeah, so let's go with... it's Addy@WeTalkWrestling.com to email me. Please let me know what you think. If you have any questions, we'll definitely be reading them on the show here. Love to hit. We haven't done a mailbag in quite a while because we've had a lot of news.
Let's do that next show.
Hmm?
All right, we do have a few questions.
Yeah, we can do the post SummerSlam. Then after we get done with SummerSlam, we'll hit some of that. It's Mo@WeTalkPodcast.com to email him. WeTalkWrestling.com is our email. Or their website, rather. We're at We Talk Wrestling on Twitter as well. So lots of ways to get a hold of us. So love to hear from you. So that's
and
it.
Just what about www.wetalkwrestling? You mentioned that one.
I did. Yes.
I don't. You did. Okay.
I did.
We also have a sister show in the We Talk a podcast family, and that's We Talk Comics. And thank you everybody who tried that out. That's on Podomatic. You can also find set to debut very very shortly. We Talk Fantasy Football. We're really looking forward to that season. And that will be myself and my co-host, Brett. The always popular Brett over on We Talk Comics, my co-host on that one as well.
Mm-hmm.
So, OUT.
All right. So, in the meantime and in between time, that's it. Another edition of We Talk Wrestling. Good night, folks.